You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Fall is approaching, and so are fall crops. We'll learn all about how you can manage the transition in your garden while preserving the quality and health of your soil on this month's edition of Garden for Life with Jeffrey Riley and Jackson County Master Gardener Lynn Kuntzman.
It's Garden for Life for the month of September. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kuntzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners Association. Lynn, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So September, obviously we're pulling things out of the garden. It's, you know, harvest time. But also I noticed you guys have an event coming up at the end of the month.
We do, yeah. A native plant sale on September 27th out at the Extension. Yep.
And that'll be 9 to 2. And then, you have a lot of native plants? Because you guys sold a bunch in the spring too, didn't you?
We did sell a bunch in the spring, and we've still got a ton. And we're in the process now of potting some of those on into larger pots because we have a lot of little plants left, and we're going to be working that through the summer to get those into bigger containers. But yeah, we have a lot of plant material now and some great plants that people need to put in their yards.
What are the headliners? What are the ones that people latch onto the most, or that you make the most of?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We've got Holodiscus, which is ocean spray. We've got Cecilia and lots of bunch grasses. Yeah, we've got trees. We've got lots of flowering plants. Just an array of everything from ground covers to vines to bunch grass, lots of different bunch grasses, and which are real important for soil health in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then trees, shrubs, all the good things that birds need. They're all the bird feeders, the natural bird feeders.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that a couple of times through the notes you provide to me that, instead of cutting some things down, keep them out there for a natural bird feeder. Better do that in your mind than to set out an actual feeder.
Right. Well, and native plants, all native plants are bird feeders, mm-hmm. right? Any native plant you put in your yard is going to be a bird feeder because it's going to grow insects that the birds can feed their young. So, yeah. So
you mentioned bunch grasses a moment ago. Come on down. You said native plant sale will be Saturday, September 27th. We'll talk about it again before we go. But come back to bunch grasses for a second. How do those differ from the other grasses that we run the lawnmower over?
This is one of those new rabbit holes that I've gone down recently. Because I always am. So turf grass, at the best, turf grass has roots that are 8 to maybe 12 inches long if you're lucky. And so you have to, you know, water it all the time. Plus it's a non-native, so it provides no food value for any kind of wildlife. Bunch grasses, our native bunch grasses, have roots that are between 8 and 15 feet long.
What?
Yes. So these bunch grasses will put down roots 8, 12, 15 feet in the ground. And when they do that, they are making associations with the mycorrhizal fungi that is in the soil. The plant is producing sugar and sending it down to its roots to grow its body. The mycorrhizal fungi is using that sugar to grow its body and sending phosphorus and nutrients into the grass, producing fertilizer for the growth of the grass. So there's that mutualistic thing that's happening down there in the depths of the soil. And remember that all plants are pulling carbon out of the air, right? At all times, plants are taking carbon, CO2 from the air, and they're photosynthesizing it and making structures, long sugar chains for their bodies. So they are bringing that stuff down, and grasses pump that into the soil. They pump that carbon down 12, 15 feet, and it's locked there in the soil for 1,000 years. That stays there. So they are sequestering carbon as they grow.
Wow.
And that's why native grasses are so important and why our prairies had such deep, fertile soil. Right?
Oh, which then, of course, we plowed up. And
we plowed up, and it blew away, right? And we replaced it with grains, which have, you know, 6-inch roots, wheat and corn and rye and all the other grains that we grow are not, they're agricultural crops. They're not the native bunch grasses. So really important that people put bunch grasses in amongst their perennial beds, get those in your garden, get them fertilizing, getting the soil healthy in your yard.
This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Lynn Kunstman. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures. I got interested in bunch grasses, but it is prairie grass then. It's the stuff that has the really long roots.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
And we've got lots of them here in Oregon. Romer's fescue and California fescue, June grass. We've just got a lot of different bunch grasses, and they're all very important for soil health.
Now, I've joked with you about the fact that it seems like my mission in life in my own garden is to do the exact opposite of what you say, maybe as a science experiment, just to do things wrong. But I have paid attention to when you talked about, feed the soil and then the soil feeds the plant.
Yeah.
When you're trying to improve your soil health, and I was telling you a couple of segments ago about taking out the soil test kit, and I'm not sure if the results were just there's nothing of this there or that I just did it wrong. But
right.
but it will let you know that you need either more nitrogen or phosphorus or potassium. Is it potassium?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I've never done a soil test in my yard. I just add compost all the time. I keep mulch on the garden. That keeps breaking down into nutrients for the – but the problem that most people, most home gardeners do is that they – over fertilize, they over spray, they're trying to, do wonderful things for their yard, but they're most of those things that they're putting into their garden from, chemical fertilizers are leaching out through the soil and going down into the creeks and causing problems in the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you have organic material that you keep adding to your garden, to the top layer of your garden, and letting the soil biome break that down and provide the fertilizer that way, that's a much healthier way to care for your plants.
Okay.
So I add organic material to my yard. That's how I fertilize.
You mentioned last time, because I was asking what your favorite mulch is, and you said a lot of straw, alfalfa, but you can afford it, but that gets expensive. But
right.
But basically, you're not looking for something that comes in a can or box that says fertilizer. You're looking for something.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I do not. I have some of those back in my shed that have been there for years and years before I realized, what I was doing. And I don't use those chemicals on my plants because they end up in the stream, they're just, I'd rather use compost. I would rather use, natural manures, that have been composted. So steer manure or, alfalfa is my favorite because it doesn't burn the plants and it gives off plenty of nitrogen for them to utilize for growth. So find a farmer who grows the alfalfa and buy directly from the farmer. You'll pay a lot less money for a bale of alfalfa if you can find a farmer who's willing to sell it to you.
Come back to manure for a second. I don't say that every day to everybody.
Yeah, right.
but come
we
back.
We have a special relationship, Jeffrey. It's fine.
So when you're using manure in the garden, animal poop, for those of you who are not
right,
used to the
yeah.
term, people might have some concerns about safety of things you grow in there, particularly any
sure.
food crops. I mean, what sorts of precautions do you want to take if you're using manure as your fertilizer?
Well, I usually put the manure into my compost pile and let it kind of work in that, and heat up and take care of the pathogens that way. So my son has chickens, and we put the chicken bedding into my compost pile, and then it's in there for a while before I put it on the garden. So it's got to break down. Chicken is very hot, so you want to be careful with that. But there are some – if you feel like you need to pump up more – nutrient in your compost or around the base of your plants, there are great kind of low-level organic fertilizers you can buy, like fish meal or blood meal, although that attracts dogs and digging in your garden.
Oh, right.
Right. You gotta be careful, or even other pests that will smell the blood and come. But things like fish meal, alfalfa meal, you can get alfalfa meal, bone meal, those kinds of things. If you have low levels of phosphorus, then you might need to get some bone meal and put it in. The deal is, it's going to release slowly over time. It's not going to be immediately available to the plants. It's got to be broken down by the microorganisms in the soil, and then they make it into a usable compound for the plants to take up.
This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kunstman, the Master Gardener. So what I'm hearing is mulch, 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 mulch.
Yeah. Yep. Keep adding organic material, you know, leaves, compost, alfalfa, straw mulch, whatever. Leaves are great. There's, you know, everybody has leaves.
Uh-huh.
Just don't throw your leaves in the landfill. You're killing all the butterflies for next year when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So rake them in under your shrubs, let them stay there, and use them in the paths in your garden, use them in the beds in your garden. Leaves are a great source of nutrients.
You know, what we do is we don't bother to do all the, yeah, they are free and
they're
abundant,
free.
Yes.
Yeah.
We run over with the mulching mower, and then, you know, if I want to save enough stuff for mulching, I'll bag them then.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. I discourage people from grinding them or mowing them because, like I said, hundreds of species of moth, butterfly, and fly are pupating in those leaves. And so when you grind them up, you're grinding up next year's insects.
Okay, so it's it's you want them big. You want them the original.
I leave them whole. I just spread them out underneath the vegetation and leave them in place. Yeah. And yeah, they might blow around the yard a little bit, you know, I'm sorry, but it's what nature's not out there shredding leaves or putting them into garbage bags to go to the landfill.
Yeah.
The leaves are there for a purpose. They're to be recycled. The tree drops the leaves underneath itself so that it can get those nutrients back the next year, you know, or 3 years down the road, and that all the caterpillars that grew in the tree can overwinter in there, and the birds can feed on them.
Oh, we're trying to wipe out the use of the term leaf litter, right? Because it's not litter.
Yeah, it's not leaf litter. It's leaf habitat.
Well, last fall, it's been about a year now, I saw a neighbor, raking down to bare soil under these trees. He says, no, you want to leave some of that there? And he's like, what? And so he, I was standing there, he kind of did a token throw of a handful back, and I came back later and they're all gone again. But
Of course, no.
Yeah.
People have an idea that everything has to be pristine and clean. Well, that's not how nature works. And so if you want to encourage nature in your yard, you need to mimic what nature does. Mm-hmm. What does nature do? The leaves drop. They rot in place, right? And the critters that are living overwintering in those leaves are preserved for next spring when they emerge and become the butterflies and moths that we need to do our pollination services. So
the point is really to try to get ourselves into rhythm with what nature does without
that's
us.
That's right. Just mimic. Think before you do anything in your yard. Think, how would nature do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would nature do? And then make a decision about how you're going to, you know, maintain your yard. That's the beauty of native plants. You have a lot less maintenance to do.
Oh, and
it's a lot quieter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot less with the mulching and the mowers and all that. Yeah,
that's right.
The road tilling. So let me get this again before we have to go. The native plant sale is September 27th, 9 to 2 at SOREC, the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center.
That's
on
correct.
Hanley Road. Near Central Point.
We'll see you all down there.
All right. Lynn, always good to have you here for another edition of Garden for Life.
Thanks for having me.